Can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
As a beta reader, your job is to say, hey, what worked and didn't work for you?
Is the author always correct? Is the beta reader correct? Or is it somewhere in between that?
Very, very few times are you is anyone writing a book for everyone. Welcome, welcome everyone to the Tudor Realm Podcast. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin.
Today we're talking.
Jesus Christ.
We're talking about how to be a good beta reader.
Yes.
This is something of modicum experience that we can talk about. I think we have learned a couple lessons. If you're big into that book space, especially if you're into the indie space and you are beta reading for someone, maybe you're beta reading for a friend, or you really love an author and you want to beta read for them, here are some of the lessons that we've learned. And just talking about our experience doing it, maybe what you can take from it.
And how to pick good beta readers in general, too. Make sure you pick the right ones.
If you're the author, this is also a good way to who do I want to be a beta reader?
Yes, definitely. Now, speaking on the experience side of this, so Rich and I, we've beta read published books and also unpublished books. Mm-hmm. Now, on the published side, Andrew Giveler's books, the Soul Fraud collection of the Deck Collection series, Soul Fraud being the first book, Ironbound. You've been reading three of those at this point for every book.
And specifically for that one, I've been more on the alpha of a beta reader for Ironbound. So I've been there for now all three books.
Yes. And then we were more, I don't know what the right term is, or like discovery, giving feedback to the mittens at some points with that. So I wouldn't say we were in the there was a lot beta readers that actually went through the whole book. So more of the surface level for that stuff. But then a lot of so I'm in a writing group personally where I beta read several other people's works. And so with one of our best buddies, we've beta read his entire manuscript. We've also beta read just a lot of separately from you, there's other people in the writer group having beta read their works. They're not published authors though. So it's just like giving feedback back and forth and things like that. So just in general, if you're in a writing group and looking to do that, these are some of the things that I guess we've learned, and take with it what you will, if it's advice that will help or not. And I guess the first thing that starts off with for me, Rich, I want to see if you agree first, is before anything starts, before even getting to the feedback phase of what needs to happen with the author and the reader, is first understand what type of feedback is the author looking for. So that's important. But then also the beta reader needs to understand what is the author's vision, at the very least. So I would even say before the book is read, a discussion to set standards of hey, here's what I'm looking for. Of certain things, but also here's the vision. Or you could have another side of an author that goes, I want you blind. Just what do you think?
Yeah.
Now that's certainly the case. But if you want really good beta reading, the more you can have a pre-conversation, I think that helps a bit.
Especially very often, I would say the writer generally is going for certain emotions, a certain feeling, wants to make sure that they are understood, their intent is properly conveyed. And so telling the reader hey, look, this is the type of story that I'm trying to tell. Here's some feelings that I want to get across. Because if they're going for comedy and they didn't laugh, or they're going for a very serious story and they laughed at every moment, that is valuable information to know.
It's very important to understand this. As a beta reader, we need to humble ourselves and go, hey, this book is not ours.
Very often,
especially in the beta reading version. Obviously, when a book's published, you can feel however you want, and even when beta reading, you can feel however you want. But it is about any type of feedback you are going to give. You are not writing what story you want out of this, even though if it's an idea, for example, of there's this plot point, you're like, oh, this sparked a great. How interesting would it be if this happened instead of what you have on page here?
I think that's the biggest lesson is. Primarily, I think your job as a beta reader is to express how you interpret it, what did you take from it? Try not to, unless the author asks, give, like, trying to turn that story into your own story is, I think, the mistake. It's much more helpful to identify problems than provide solutions. You can provide solutions, and very often through conversation, a solution will present itself. But especially if you're reading it, you want to be in your mind of identifying problems. If you're looking to solve the book, you're trying to make it your own, I think you'll be in the wrong mindset and trying to turn the story, not what the author intended, but trying to make it your own. And I think that's something very much to try to avoid as much as possible.
Definitely. And with giving feedback in general, mm-hmm. to an author, now obviously they can say how critical or how nice can the author take the feedback. Are they a very close friend of yours, or are they someone you're exchanging a book with? Are they more of a stranger? That can change obviously tone of how you respond. But more importantly, how do you one important thing, and then question for you, Rich, one important thing is to tell the author what's working in the yep. first place. So like emphasize, hey, this works. Like that's a scene that's great. Because often I've noticed with feedback, hey, for my own work or giving it to others, just learning over time, is there could be something that a person's thinking they really want to work or land well. And you're like, oh, that's a scene like that made me smile, or like that I want to be compelling, that the beta reader reads and it is compelling and it works for them, but they're ignoring it because a lot of people look at the feedback phase of like, oh, I need to give the feedback, the criticism of what's not working, so to make it better, to help them make it better. But sometimes the most helpful thing you could do is say, this is working, like keep this is great. Thumbs up.
It would also take some decision off your plate if the author's still mulling over certain scenes and going like, this is very important to me. Do I need to change it? I don't know if it works. That's valuable information if the reader and the beta reader tells you it works. Then they go, oh,
thank goodness.
Move on to next problem. Like yeah. that is helpful.
Especially if you have multiple beta readers and one person says this works and someone else is criticizing that portion of like, hey, fix this, do this or whatnot. Now you know, okay, is this more of a subjective reader's preference, or obviously the more beta readers you have, it's like subjective universality, right? If 5, 6, 7 people are and are all saying there's a problem with it and no one's saying it's good, there's probably something there that's true.
Yeah.
Even though you might love that scene, something that you're trying to get across isn't coming across.
And they may all be incorrect in how and sure. why it doesn't work. It doesn't work for all of them is the thing to take away from it.
Yes. Now, anything else before like getting deeper into this of like general zone to get into when giving feedback? These are the things that came to my mind, but I'm curious, do you go in with any kind of mentality for giving feedback?
I think just as a general rule, be honest. I know that's a real basic one, but I have heard from different authors that a difficulty they have with beta readers is finding ones that will be honest with them, and that they'll it's very easy to get beta readers that will just say it's great and layer on the praise too much and going like, hey, appreciate it, but also I know it's not perfect. Please tell me things that didn't work for you. I would say that is valuable information. And if an author is asking for a beta reader, they need to be comfortable with taking feedback of like, this did not work for me. And it's also just, that is the tone of not making it personal of like, oh, you're a bad person. Like, oh, you're an idiot for writing it this way. It's more, hey, this scene didn't work for XYZ reasons for me. I don't think there's really anything objectionable. I don't think you're going to hurt an author's feelings wording it that way.
Do you think you should sandwich method it? Would you advise, hey, good thing, here's some issue, good thing? Or do you think you don't need to do that depending on who you're talking to?
Yeah, depending on who you talk to. I mean, that's a general rule of thumb of if you want to be polite, probably a good thing. Like, start off with the praise and then go into your criticism. Yeah, that's generally advisable, but it depends on who do you know that's actually taking this.
Like, hey, you are great at giving feedback, beta reading. I've actually never liked being in a room with you and you bore me, but I really think you should keep up the good work on the pod. Like, is that acceptable?
I heard some static in the middle there. I I missed that second part, but first and third, thank you.
Like, see, don't you feel good?
I do. I do like, feel pretty good.
The overall feeling is, that wasn't that bad. That can be a thing where I know in, so a couple personal experiences we can get into as we're spreading throughout the conversation, but one was one of our buddies was having one of his chapters being read, and we were going through the chapter, and the feedback being given by other beta readers in the group toward that chapter was hyper-focused on, like, a certain word he used. Or, like, hey, this word's not working. Use a different word. Oh, bless you.
Thank you.
So, was hyper-focused on a certain word or going through what he was looking for was more general, hey, feel feedback and not super specific. But also, that's more for, there's copy editing. There's different types of, like, people are going to edit the book. There's copy editing, and then there's general actual feedback. The beta testing is a different phase of this experiment. Like, you're looking at a reader trying to give feedback. You're not trying to, say, change your syntax. In general, like, maybe there's an author that wants you to do that, but it demotivated the author so much that they were hyper-focusing on this word and, like, got no value out of the actual feedback and criticism being given, because it was like, hey, a word can change so easily. I'm more interested, like, is the story going the right direction, the right way? So that was a big thing of, like, the beta reader to author communication wasn't there. But then on top of that, in general, it's not, don't hyper-fixate on very small things, especially at the, if you're in the final edit and you're looking like, hey, change this, maybe this word, you know, filler word. It wasn't even that. It was the fact that the word, like, the adjective used, like, use a different adjective. And it was, like, helping him try to find the adjective. Like, a conversation could get too long and dead into a conversation that the author's not looking for in the first place. So that was one example I ran into. And then on the, sorry about that. Had a phone call. It goes to the laptop now. I need to make sure. There we go. Muted. But yes. So that was one case I ran into. Have you ever ran into a case where you're in a feedback session and you saw, like, bad feedback happening or something that maybe even you did? That wasn't good.
The lesson that I learned was try not to immediately provide solutions. And that was first biggest lesson, is spending so much time on how I would write it instead of just providing why something didn't work for me. That was the thing I learned, the lesson of, like, because we just got too bogged down to the weeds of what the author's intending to do. And I'm going, like, well, what if you just writing a completely different story? And it's like, that's not helpful.
No.
Because they're trying to turn, you know, a drama into a mystery, ultimately. It's like, that's not helpful. The author wants to tell a drama. The author wants to tell a certain type of story. You should help them tell that story, not write your own. Or, you know, not tell your own.
And then on the opposite end of that, so you don't want to also be too vague, I found as well, where, for example, a feedback that could be given is, hey, the pacing is off.
But what does that mean?
What does
that
mean?
Where did you, like, right. Often when someone says the pacing is off, it means I got bored. But generally.
That feedback needs to get more specific.
But also, like, I got bored where? What point did you click off that you go, I am not interested anymore? That's far more valuable.
Incredibly valuable.
That's generally, I think, what people mean by, like, oh, the pacing's off. It's, I got bored in this chapter. This chapter turned me off. I was no longer interested in the story, and it felt like it's dragging on.
Yes. Well, do you think there's other type of vague feedback that can be given like that? I know that's a big one. I hear, say, pacing's off. Is there something else there?
Pacing, let's kind of go through. Pacing is a plot, a very vague plot detail. What do people say that is too vague about the characters?
Oh, like the I actually had one written down here. Oh, like the character isn't working is one that I've heard.
Ah,
this character doesn't work. Like, what does that mean, though?
Yeah, that can mean a variety of things.
Yes. Like, for example, if something's focused on a character in your feedback of, you can even have a discussion, maybe this is a little bit too writery, but we did this with our friend's book, who, by the way, this is an honest story of, we beta read our one of our closest friend's book and had to tell him that it's one of the worst we've written, in a in a
not, one of the worst we've read.
Not one written. Of the worst we read, but that was the conclusion. It didn't start off like that. It was like, hey, we knew it, we read it, and he was looking to get it published, and we had to basically say it's not ready in any shape or form. That's our honest feedback, but that was a long discussion to like talk about that, and he eventually was on the same page after getting more, not just that from you and me, but also from everybody else who was reading it, or most people reading it. That's mm-hmm. a tough thing. We were almost going to title this video, How to Tell Your Friend Their Book Sucks. However, we held in front of us books we enjoy in the thumbnail. So it wouldn't make sense. Because, you know, we had Discovery by the Mittens. We had Andrew Giver's Ironbound. So it didn't make sense to
do
that.
It would. Yeah, but we would hold up our friend's book. Like, that's where that type of title would work very well.
Now,
but
how do you remember us giving that feedback to just, hey, the book doesn't work. How do you give feedback to something like that?
He's one of our best friends. Well, so we were just brutally honest from the get-go. Like, we didn't sandwich anything. We did.
It
we
revved
did,
up.
We did, like, we started off like, hey, your descriptions are really visual. Like, I was picturing a lot of this. And then we just went hard in the paint.
The reason I bring this up as an example is because sometimes it's helpful when we were talking with him of his main character. We were going literally down on the paper of what is the character's flaws, wants, and needs. Of like, what are you trying to do with this character? What is their end goal? Like, what is the character? And
we came to the realization we didn't just have a problem with execution. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the execution of the character. It was our friend's intent behind the story and the genesis of what his story was about was fundamentally flawed, and that needed to change. And the fact that he wasn't willing to makes like. This is almost like you have to scrap. You have to try again. There's not tweaks.
And to be fair, if that's how he wants the story written, like it is your book too. But one issue that could pop up, like, hey, is it an execution issue or is it like an inception issue, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, this character, the author in this case was looking at this character's the character's flaw was not strong, like physically strong, right? Was like, hey, the character's kind of weak physically. But then the want and need, the story had nothing. It was not an underdog story. It was not like a Rocky Balboa thing. None of the wants and desires and the need, the lesson had to do with physical strength. It was just like the fact that the character was not strong did not inhibit that character from progressing in the plot. The character needed to have other flaws if the intent was to overcome the obstacles to get there. And that's why not all of it felt flat while we were reading. We're going like, there's something here. Because the author was thinking... Like when we were talking it out, the author was thinking that is a flaw in the book. But we were even explaining like, hey, a flaw can't be a flaw if it's not an obstacle to what the character wants, the character's wants and needs.
Obviously.
Yeah.
It came down to there was a thing that the author did not want of this character needed to be deserving of love, kindness, of like the character is good and wholesomely good person and character deserving of love and ultimately rejected from it of like the world is the enemy against this character, but how then the rest of the story was written doesn't work for that type of story. And that's a very difficult story to tell.
Very difficult. Yeah.
It generally we talked about this previous video of like static versus dynamic character.
Yeah.
If your character is supposed to be wholesomely good, like the character should not change, the character is deserving of love, all this stuff, and the world is against them, then you have a more static character that now the world needs to be changed by them. But he was writing a very static type of character's personality. Trying to make them a dynamic character and the world is fundamentally not changing around them. So it's the blending does not work versus if there was a fundamental shift of the whole story of the characters staying stalwart and is wholesomely good, but changing the people around them, that would have worked better.
And now, so you have that perspective of having read a book where it's like, hey, doesn't work, have to give that feedback. But then you've also read Andrew Giver's second book with Ironbound of don't change a thing is what you sent him, right?
Basically, yeah.
Of just, hey,
I felt like a bad beta reader because I read it and went,
I got nothing.
I got nothing. Like, yeah, no, I was, I think I gave him minor things. Like, I took screenshots of like basically copy editing level things.
Yeah.
And just like, hey, look, you mentioned this here before and it's, you know, it's inconsistent with a thing you mentioned previously.
Like objective thing of, hey, you didn't put this, you just forgot, right?
Yeah, so like you forgot, like, hey, there was this thing before, and then it's missed here. Like, I was dealing with that level stuff. Yeah. But he quite literally took all of my complaints of book one of, like, hey, these are your strengths. Here are your weaknesses. Here's the stuff that didn't work as well as you may have hoped. I don't know what your intention, like how much focus you want to put on it, but here's what you needed to work on, from book one. And I went book two and, like, all of my complaints in book one were addressed and exceeded, and you kept all the good stuff. It was just like, it felt like he wrote it for me. That's what it felt like.
That's what you learn from beta reading, is make the book for me.
Yes, make it for me. Me.
But with that, when you were giving the feedback, how does that differ where you as the reader are still understanding, hey, when are you correct, basically? Who is correct there? Because is the author always correct? Is the beta reader correct? Or is it somewhere in between that?
Ah, we get back to the intent of the author.
Oh, no.
Every time. Well, ultimately, the right answer is, as a beta reader, your job is to say, hey, what worked and didn't work for you? How did you interpret it? Because that is valid. That is what I believe the beta reader should provide the author. Hey, when you wrote this scene, it came across in this way to me, and it worked or didn't work. That's basically it. That's the only, true thing that you can really say. Because beyond that, if you're trying to say, like, if you're trying to tell the author of, oh, you intended this, and you're trying to, like, if you're trying to read into the author's intent, it's like, that's normally not as helpful. That's the thing to try to stay away from solutions. You present problems. Maybe you can work on solutions, like, with the author, if the author wants you to. But that's what you could provide.
Gotcha. With that being the case, so for somebody that you're giving feedback to, this is something that happened. I don't know how public this is, but one of the big authors who we were talking to kicked off one of his editors because the editor actually was too nice and too kind.
Yeah.
So that is a case as well where, when giving that feedback, or in the case of knowing the author of, if they want to be more blunt and critical and honest, you also should choose a reader that, one, is willing to be honest with you, of course, but secondly, do they even like the type of story, type of tropes, type of subgenre you're reading? Because something I've ran into, another one, this is just spewing as we're talking about it more, but something that's happened in personal writing group is you have somebody that doesn't like your not even genre, because fantasy is a little broad, but just even the subgenre or the tropes involved in your story. So that when you're getting feedback, and maybe it's the person is a bit more dry in their feedback, or it's a bit more clinical, and that's when you get the people that are looking at the words, are the words right, or what's this, because they just might not even be excited for your story in that way. So that's also don't get a beta reader just because, oh, this is a person who's willing to take the time, because it's really hard to find those beta readers. I would err on the advice of saying no beta reader is better than getting somebody that's going to give you bad advice, just because even though if their intentions are good, like, hey, your mom wants to read your story, your friend wants to read your story because they care about you. But if your mom doesn't read any fantasy, or if your mom is like, loves thrillers but doesn't like your coming of age, just doesn't like that type of trope, you're not going to get helpful story feedback. She's also going to be thinking about her little baby boy, her baby girl that wrote this story. So that's also where it gets a little difficult.
I mean, maybe that's a good idea for authors trying to find a good beta reader, is having a filtering question of, if you can think of a good list of books that are in any way, like, have similar tropes to yours, have a similar vibe, tone, something in the sense of, because almost every author, I think, will go like, yeah, if you like X book, you'll like this. Whatever you're trying to go for, have that list of books. And if a beta reader, like, give them a long enough list that hopefully they've read some of them. If the beta reader could say, like, yes, I liked similar books to the story that you are trying to tell, that's a great, like, okay, great. They at least like something in the genre. And it comes back to our C.S. Was that C.S. Lewis or C.S. Lewis essay talking about science fiction. Science fiction. You can't critique a genre that you don't love. Ultimately, like, if you just don't even like anything about the genre, your criticism is hollow.
Yeah.
It's the same thing of like why our romanticy opinions comes, like, our critique comes across a bit hollow. Like, I understand that our feedback is less valuable than someone who really loves romanticy as a genre.
Yeah, in the same way, if you were to give comp books and say, hey, this book is like, you know, if you like Name of the Wind, read my book and give me good beta feedback, we would be worse beta readers.
Yeah.
Right? Because I would refer to people I know that love Name of the Wind to go be beta readers for this instead, because they could zone in on what you're trying to do. They would enjoy it more. And nobody wants to beta reading to feel like much of a chore. That's a part of it too. Even though your mom loves you, is it the first thing that she wants to do? Of course, probably not. And also, it's not going to be great for you, because then you're not getting the proper feedback.
Yeah, but it's kind of our previous discussion of like, hey, is it the genre for everyone? Is it the book for everyone?
Yeah. Yep.
I think very, very, very few times is anyone writing a book for everyone. Generally, like, some of the better author advice is write the book for yourself. Mm. Write the book that you always wanted to read.
Yeah.
Is generally like your first, that's like the first book writer's advice of,
yes,
generally what you should do. But hey, you as a reader are some type of demographic. Like, you have your preferences, you have your likes, you have your dislikes. And so trying to find the group of people that have at least, you have to find the group of people that should like the best version of your book.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
yeah, it's, that's not a good way of putting it.
It's not productive to find people that, even if you wrote the best version of your book, they'll still not like it because they don't like romanticy. They just don't like coming of age. They don't like the retired badass trope. It just annoys them. They, mm-hmm, just don't like it. And you're like, well, that's like the whole story.
I'm sorry.
I mean, there's nothing I could do about that. And they'll be like, well, what if the main character was young? And you're like, well, then that's a completely different story. That's not helpful. That's not helpful to me.
Yes, exactly that. I'm remembering now we did this once on the channel where somebody reached out to us on email, mm-hmm, and said like, hey, you guys, how about you beta read the first, was it 15 chapters of my book?
Mm-hmm.
And you do this, give me feedback, I'll pay each. It was $100.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, you know what? We're not doing this as a this is not a thing we're doing. Please don't email us and do that. Just because we were like, we were testing, is this something we want to do?
Yeah,
right? We were testing, is this something that, you know, us being beta readers, and we could have like a public thing. I don't know, it could be a Patreon perk or something like that. Which it's not, by the way. We tested it once. That's not because it was a bad experience at all, but it was just like, you know, the time is to give great beta feedback and invest the time. Like, it's not even worth like whatever dollar amount we could request, right? There's just like other channel stuff to do, life stuff to do, right? So it's, mm-hmm, besides the point. But from that experience of just reading the first 15 chapters, is there any lesson you learned there that you garnered, mm-hmm, out of it? Because I thought it was a fun time. That was a fun experiment. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I certainly did. And just seeing where the inklings, and as a, I think a good way to do it was also asking questions of,
yeah,
as a reader going like, I think the book is going this direction.
Oh, that's great advice.
And going like, if, and not saying what it should be, what I'm just, as the reader, mm-hmm, if I'm telling the author, I think the book is going in this direction, I think you're trying to tell me this, I think it's going to do this, that's valuable of, maybe the author wants you to think that, wants you to know what the direction is going, because often like, oh no, the reader's too confused. That's not good. You don't want the reader too confused.
Right.
But very often, maybe there's a plot thread they want to trick you on. And so being able to see the reader say like, I think it's going this direction, the author can say, I'm doing it right then. I'm keeping it hidden enough. And then later on, you'll ask the question of like, at the end, did you feel like the rug was pulled from under you, or did you feel like an aha moment?
Right.
But I think that's also a good tendency for a reader to like asking the author and saying like, I think it's going in this direction.
Especially because if you give that feedback and the author is saying, like you said, they're confused or, oh, no, they should have gotten this by now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good indicator to be like, okay, it wasn't clear enough. You need this to come across more properly. Because not everybody's writing Gene Wolfe style, Steven Erikson, and trying to make it all confused, right? So,
And to that point, that means the beta reading is a little different. It's not reading the whole book and giving final feedback. Yep. It's reading a section, giving feedback up until that point.
Yes.
And so there is, I think, value in point in time in the novel's feedback. Because often you want to be able to find out, hey, where does a reader drop off? Where does a reader get confused? And often that can get lost if the reader just reads all the way through and then gives the feedback at the end.
What would you say there's a best way to do it? Is it chapter by chapter? Is it act by act, like group five chapters at a time, or the whole book? Do you think there's it's subjective. People could do it however they want. But if somebody was reading your book,
I think
how would you want it?
Act by act.
Act one, feedback. Act two, feedback. Act three, feedback.
I think so. I think those are important just moments and being able to indicate, hey, is the reader understanding what they're getting into in act two? Hey, what are their expectations of the ending right now? That's important knowledge, and to whether they'll be satisfied in the end, and being able to like, okay, because then you have to ask a question of like, okay, if the book doesn't work, if there's something disharmonious, I don't know, chaotic, there's something that's not working, whatever it is, you can ask if you have someone read the whole book and go like, the ending didn't work.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You want to know much more, right?
And maybe the ending doesn't work. Is it the ending or is it the expectations in act one? Because maybe the ending does work if you tweak the beginning or you tweak the middle. And so having people like read act one and then ask them, like, what are your expectations? Where do you think this book is going? Then when they get to the ending, go, this didn't work. Instead, you can take that feedback and go, okay, I think instead of changing the ending, I need to change the beginning a little bit.
Mm. Well, what I'm learning is our book reviews need to be three parts. We need to have more.
Yeah.
That's true, and this is a little bit of extra homework, I guess, because I'm assuming everyone's gotten to this point. You're interested in beta reading or finding beta readers or something of the sort, so you're already in the camp that maybe this isn't needed advice, but I think it's necessary to mention of hope. As much as here, I don't know what I'm doing, I try to know what I'm doing, and reading something like Save the Cat Writes a Novel. Mm-hmm. Or these different kind of storytelling books. It's just the basic stuff of how does a plot structure work, of knowing, hey, your midpoint's a false victory or false defeat. What happens afterwards generally? This doesn't mean you can't break the rules and can't subvert that, do something different. But especially with, I guess, the one piece of feedback we were giving earlier with our friend in the book about how the character's flaw was not an actual obstacle. Like that just gets to, hey, if you're doing generally what story structure, like what a flaw is, you know, what literally is an inciting incident, and how soon in a book does the inciting incident typically happen? So, for example, if you are beta reading somebody's book and their inciting incident happens at the 30% mark of the book, a third the way through, when they should already be willing to, you know, bid into act two by then. If that's the inciting incident, you go like, hey, just this is atypical. This isn't usual for a book. Usually the inciting incident is in the first chapter a lot of times, but then in the first couple of chapters and you got your inciting incident, right? You know, maybe chapter five, whatever. And so that, knowing that, just so that when you're giving feedback to the author, of who the author is probably also aware. So this is more feedback if it's like your friend group, if you're exchanging with friends who might not be at like a stage where, hey, they've written their third book and they're into storytelling. This is probably for your, you know, pulling back the curtain to like newer writers who you're having fun with in a writing group. That might be better advice, just to like, hey, know your stuff a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and try to get into that space. Just you know the rules so you can break them. That kind of thing.
That is one. That's just generally good writing advice. The best parodies are from people who deeply love and understand the thing they're parodying,
mm-hmm.
and that's, I think, generally true of most art. The best artists that break the rules deeply understand the rules, and so that would be the feedback. Yep. If you're a writer and you're getting feedback of like, hey, this is very atypical. It's not that you can't do that.
No.
It's how experienced are you? How much do you want to take a risk? Do you understand deeply the rules that you're breaking?
Right.
And are you breaking them for a reason?
And maybe your first book shouldn't break all the rules.
Maybe some. Maybe not all, though.
Yeah, maybe not all.
Maybe not all.
Maybe not all. That's definitely true. Yeah. Some of you can write To Kill a Mockingbird the first time. Some of you just got that in your veins. Yeah,
some of you do, but most of you don't. Come on. get some experience under your belt.
So anything else you had for the advice?
Yeah. I mean, it can all be summed up with try to be as mean as possible.
Pretty much, really.
Twist the knife. And whether you like it or not, you just tell them that it's the worst thing you ever read. That's what we got
out of this episode.
True. I think that's what we got out of it, right?
If you want some of that, our book club, there's a writing club as well. That there's a bunch of writers on our Patreon Discord. If you want to join that, I'll link in the description below to find fellow writers to hang out with, even if you're not a big reader, which we do have our book club as well. Go check that out in the link in the description below. Shout out to Orcish Dad, best patron, as Rich would put as well.
Yes, true. There is a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy to our Patreon. It's Orcish Dad and then literally everyone else. Mm. It's very
including us, right?
Yes, and so, including us. He is the best among us.
He started that writing portion, which is great as well. So shout out to Orcish Dad. And let us know if we miss something, what you think about would be good beta reading advice as well. All that good stuff, and we'll see you next episode.
Bye-bye, everyone.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.